Hey everyone, Jake and Gino here with some exciting news.
The Wheelbarrow Profits podcast is changing to the Jake and Gino Show.
You will still be able to find new episodes every Thursday on YouTube or your favorite podcast streaming service.
It's the same great show with the same great content.
And the same great hosts. You're not going to want to miss an episode.
So be sure to catch us on the next episode of the Jake and Gino Show.
Hello, everybody. It's Jake Senzino, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, best-selling author, the G-Daddy in pink today, Gino Barber. Gino, how's it going?
Senzi, doing great, bro. How you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. Today's guest founded the company Front Row Dads because he wanted to win at home and not just at work. Yeah, sounding like the G-Daddy right now. He is on a mission to help men deepen their connection with their children and build a family legacy that they're proud of. So without further ado, John Vroman, welcome to the show.
What's up, gents? Good to be here.
Good to have you. I'm a little bit later on. I let the G-Dad kind of kick this thing off, so I got some more in-depth questions later, but I want to know the inspiration for Front Row Dads and how it came about.
Yeah, the inspiration was that I was failing. So this all started because I wanted help, not because I needed to give it. You know, I had a six-year-old at the time. I'm living in Philadelphia, and I built my dream business. I was speaking and traveling all over the world, giving keynotes, and while some groups were standing, you know, up to give me an applause at the end, my wife was wondering why I was more of a moment maker for other people than I was for my own family. And it was in that moment where I realized I was a businessman with a family, and I wanted to be a family man with a business. And that got me to pull 30 of my friends together in Philadelphia in October of 2016. Everybody at the end of that event was like, this is great. We don't have this and we want more of it. So I did a second one, and now we just finished our 11th retreat. And we have a growing group of men who want to be family men with businesses, not businessmen with families. And that's really how it all began.
I got to call a timeout because I think Gino stole your line a long time ago, because the same thing, you know, Gino, you got to jump in here and talk about the restaurant and basically your experience there, because I think you guys are on very similar wavelengths here.
So it's very similar to what John did. I'm sure that John, I'm going to discuss this, but didn't have any core values, didn't have a mission statement, didn't have a catalyzing statement. Right. And just like me, we're just doing what we were supposed to do. We never really thought about it. I'm working.
Missing holidays at the restaurants. Yeah.
And I'm living in an incongruent life. When you're early on and you're younger, it doesn't really make a difference. But then all of a sudden, John's he's going away on the weekends. He's speaking. He's away from his family. It doesn't feel right, but that's what he thought his dream was. So if you're going to start building goals, pull it back, everybody. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. Do Stephen Covey's Think With the End in Mind. And if you can think with the end in mind, and you know, John seems like he wants to create impact for others, lasting legacy to dads, you're not going away every weekend from your family. You're not going to do that. But if you don't have that clear picture in your mind, you won't be able to set those goals. We do goal setting so differently. For me, the restaurant, I'm missing weekends. I'm missing holidays. I'm working on Christmas Eve. And that's what I thought I was supposed to do. That's what I was trained to do from a dad who was an immigrant who worked his ass off. And that's what I followed. And there's nothing wrong with it. When I started living and I just felt off like you did. I said, there's something missing here. What's going on? Went to life coaching school. I'm going to plug that to everybody else. Go to get some real personal development and dive into what your why is, like really what your why is, and figure out from your why how you'll do it. And John created, we say, Jake, what do we say? You know, it's your business, you know, fueling your lifestyle. Let your lifestyle fuel your business. Very similar to what John is saying. If you can think with that way, and most of us aren't conditioned that way because we're conditioned to go to school, get a great job, have a great career. That's what success is. Once again, I'm not judging anybody. But if you're at that
point. Hey, we all go through it though. That's not hating, right? That's the path that society in the United States sets out for us, right?
Yes.
Get in line, grab the hat and go to work.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to judge anybody, but that's how I felt. I think that's how John
felt.
That's truth. That's how Jake felt.
Speaking of truth.
Yes, but sometimes people need to hear the truth, but it doesn't want to come from a judgmental
voice.
Don't
care if I'm offending anybody right now. All right.
Well, it's not that I'm offending them. People might be like, you know what? I want them to resonate with that story because it's scary because you're at that point right now. You're doing the same thing and getting different. You're not going to get different results. You're going to get the same results. So when did you figure out your core values, John, and say, wow, this doesn't fit. It was at that point, but did you start working on core values then? A mission statement, a catalyzing statement at that point?
And you're speaking about for the family or for myself?
For both. I mean, I think for all of it. Yeah.
I think you're dictating to the world what your core values are by your actions. So I knew what my core values were, you know, at that moment. And to be honest, like that, it was providing. You know, a lot of times we think we're doing the thing that our family needs, right? So for me, my core value might have been providing for them. And that came from a place of when I couldn't provide for my family and needed to build up, but then you get addicted to it. Then you find a rhythm that you oftentimes need to break at some point. You know, you build some habits and then you need to break them. My dad, you know, 77 now and still tells me how he really believed that his mission was to provide for our family and be a protector. He's a military man. And at 77, he has a lot of regret and has expressed his sorrow to me many times for realizing that he missed the emotional side.
Some of that
may
be instinctual though, right? Like, I mean,
100% it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it should be, you should provide for your family.
As a man. Yeah.
Yeah. But then at the same time, you also can hide behind that. You lean on that one thing 100%. Too much. Like for my wife, it's like, she needs me to provide a shelter for her and put food on the table. And she's a stay at home mom. But at the same time, she has other needs. And I can hide behind the needs that also I enjoy doing, and I stay away from the ones that are actually more difficult for me to provide.
You gotta
for
satisfy
her.
Those needs, John.
That's right.
Big part about being a man too, right?
Let's get into that, guys. this was my breakfast conversation with Hal minutes ago. So, there's a lot to learn. And, you know, I remember somebody telling me a long time ago, it's like, you know, these two had split up and somebody had said, hey, you know, that person gave their spouse everything, but what they really needed. Right? You gave them everything, but what they really needed. And what I had to learn was, what did my family need from me? And that was the goal. So when did I start doing the values and everything? Over time. I mean, it's a slow process. And we really established our core values, by the way, as a family 2 years ago. And that was thanks to my buddy, Mike McCarthy, who wrote the Miracle Morning book for parents and families. And he taught a core values exercise in there. And then my buddy, Darius Mirshazadeh, put out the book, The Core Value Equation. And I went through the process with him. And yeah, we had core values, by the way, for everything, for our foundation, for our business. We didn't have them for our family. Yeah. And my buddy Isaac Tolpin said, you know, we'll put all this time and energy into planning like a family board a board meeting at work, and we'll understand everybody's dreams and goals. But at home, we think that our job is to come sit down and like eat dinner and be like, how was everybody's day? And put zero attention into all that. And by the way, and then I can talk for an hour, guys, about how that was applied to everything. I started looking at, I knew the strengths assessment of everybody in my team. Everybody in my organization, I knew what their strengths were. We'd done the Gallup, right? We'd done the Strengths Finder. I'd never done that for my family. So at some point you look at your computer and your desktop like has a folder for your finances, a folder for your goals and dreams, a folder for your business. But where's the folder for the family? Like, where are all the business principles applied at home? And that's when I realized I was really happened to have a family on the side. And it was where I was giving my time too, like my best hours. I'd tell my wife, like, my best hours go to my family. Right. So I'd wake up and I'd crush it at work, and then I'd have my family would get the rest of me at night. Or I would start to work on Sundays because I had to prepare for Monday, and I'd go into the weekend stressed because Friday I didn't close all my loops. But if I started to figure things out about how I could put family first, and my buddy Jay Papazan, who wrote the book, The One Thing, would say, you know, put your family vacation on the calendar first and then build around that. So what life do you want to live? Like you guys said it, right? Let the lifestyle drive the business.
John, you just get to a point in your life where every day is a vacation. I live in St. Augustine. I don't have to worry about vacating, right? Yeah. The whole premise of vacation is to vacate. I don't want to go to New York. I'm a former New Yorker. I'm living in Florida. Why the hell would I want to go to there? I don't need to go to the Bahamas. I'm 300 feet from the beach. So every day is a vacation. If you can get to that point in life, then you're playing with house money. I see a looming invitation to the multifamily zone, Jake, because John is talking about, me and my wife, we have a podcast, Spouse Relationships and Communication. I said, Jill, you do the spousal, I'll do the business, because running a business is like running a family. They're so intertwined as far as having core values, as far as scheduling.
I think that's what he was alluding to, that people are missing though, because you do all this stuff to optimize your business. Meanwhile, you're turning a blind eye to your family. I want to hear more about, so we have a family meeting every week. We have our family core values. We literally have an operating document that we run the meeting off of. Yeah. And since we've done that, the relationship with my wife has actually gotten better, and there's more attention given to where things need to be. And we know our pitfalls and our holes. So can you just discuss your structure a little bit, how you're running your meetings? This is like a personal. I'm trying to steal and pick up pointers here. You know what I mean?
So. Well, I'm going to give you an answer you might not be expecting. Yeah. But if I told my wife we were going to have a family meeting, we'd get divorced.
Really?
Like, she does not want a family meeting.
I got some kickback at first, and then it was kind of like, oh, I see the value in this.
My wife is a free spirit. She does not like to be. She
doesn't like the structure.
No, hates that. And so by the way, but if you want to go if you want to talk to my wife, you got to take a walk with the dogs. But see, as long as you don't call it a meeting, if you're just walking walking with the dogs, you can talk about anything. But if you bust out a spreadsheet and talk to her like she's like an employee, notes then you know. And let me tell you a story that I think is really relevant in this moment, right? So I come from a world of personal growth and development and structure and all of that. But if I sat down and said, we're going to do family values for the next hour, or it just would not work for me. For other people, by the way, it does. They have businesses with their spouses. Their wives might be driving that, you know, even more. And this is not about whether it's masculine or feminine or whose role it is or whatever. It's literally about personality design. Mm-hmm. I'm down in Florida with my buddy, but you might know David Osborne. He's a real estate guy. All right. So we're down in Florida. We're at his house and we're all hanging out. My wife and I have a little bit of tension. We go for a walk on the beach. My wife starts picking up shells and I'm thinking, right, I need your attention right now. I need you to listen to me. And you're picking up shells. And I say to her, I really need to like tell you something. I need you to not pick up shells. 5 minutes later, she picks up a fucking shell. And I'm like, babe, and I'm trying not to get triggered. Please give me 10 minutes. Focus on what I'm saying. I really need you to get this. And this is my wife, by the way. She is in the moment, totally present, which is what I love about her. It's what makes her so beautiful, right? And but yet drives me insane. So 15 minutes later, she picks up another shell and I lose it. I'm like, done. I go back to the house. I leave her on the beach. I have a coaching call that day with my coach. And here's what he says. I'm going to get right to the punchline. He says, John, you think that your world of words is more important than her world of emotion. Because while you're telling her that you need her to stop picking up shells and listen to you, she's telling you with her body that she wants to pick up shells and doesn't want to listen to you. And all of a sudden, I walked away from that conversation originally feeling I was so right. I know my coach is going to be like, yep, you were right, John. She was wrong. You asked her to listen. She should have listened. That would have been the courteous thing to do, right? But no, man, I walked away and I realized we are radically different people, process information differently. And I get so caught up in being right. Right? That this is the way it should be. I read the book and it told me this is how communication goes. I tell you what I need. And if you're being respectful, like this is what happens. And man, I have such respect now for who she is and how different we are and approach things very differently at age 46 than I did, you know, 15 years ago when we met.
When the hierarchy breaks down and you're both on a level playing field, you know, what does the lady say? You got to love what is, right?
That's it. Yeah. Byron Katie. That's it. 100%, man. And a lot of this is about acceptance. A lot of this is about acceptance. And honestly, it's out of fear for me. The reason I want her to listen is because I'm afraid that if she doesn't, we're going to fail as a family. And realizing how much, so much of what's driven for me is out of fear. That's been a big discovery. But I can tell you this, guys, is that the question of like, what is our structure is it, by the way, our structure is constantly evolving. If I tell you what works today, it might change 6 months from now, if the past has been any indication, but here's what we need. We need time together, regardless, whatever it looks like, going for walks, sitting down, and we use other people's structures. Cause if I tell her we're going to do a meeting, it doesn't always work. But if we go to, you know, again, Mike McCarthy just wrote this book with Hal called the Miracle Morning for Parents and Families. And he's got a companion guide and here's how you do a family meeting. Here's how you work on your core values. If we're following that, she's much more likely to be engaged with it than if I tell her what we're going to do.
She doesn't want you creating that shit.
That's,
you
know, exactly
the craziest things is like, my wife is completely comfortable being late and is late 90% of the time. And I'm sitting here going, what the hell are we doing? Like we're impeding on someone else's time. There's a structure and a schedule. And like, it's very hard for me because I like to be on time. I like to be punctual. And it's like, dude, that is one of the struggles. It's the same thing with the seashells. Like she's completely comfortable walking into a place 15 minutes late. And I'm just like, this is impeding on this person's time. But if I like, I start to really, you know, so it's on me to make sure that, okay, maybe we're leaving 30 minutes earlier than she thought. And I just try to hack it that way, because if not, it's going to.
So for those of you that are not as evolved as John Roman and Jake Stenziano in relationship.
Dude, I'm just looking for the hack, big dog. All right. I'm just looking for the hack. So
the multifamily zone, we did podcast Gary Chapman in the 5 love languages. I've podcasted several of his authors. Start there. There's the baseline, that level of communication, you know, acts of service. I love acts of service. My wife likes quality time, right? But quality time for her, not for me. Like, hey, Jill, I need to get some exercise. Let's go for a walk. That's not really quality time for her. That's quality time for me, but not for her. That's the baseline.
If you know how they make dinner tonight, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. So I think everyone needs to learn that other person's quote unquote, I want love language or whatever. You know,
that's what it is,
and that's what it comes down to. And John's at the age of 46 has probably evolved and he's probably adopted a lot of those ways to communicate, because what his wife really thrives on and resonates with is not what he resonates with. And the goal is to speak in her language, not in his language. He was speaking in his own language. And this may seem so simple to people, but figure out what the other person's language is and speak in. And even when you have ask for forgiveness, forgive in their way, not in the way you'd forgive, right? If somebody likes gifts, you forgive with a gift. If somebody likes words, you forgive with a word. If somebody likes touch, affirmation, you give them a hug or a kiss or whatever that may be. This is really, really important and transformational. At least it was for me thinking that, because it took us a long time, many years to get through.
But these are situational too, and these can pivot, right? I mean, yes. these things can adjust. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not that's always black and white, right?
Yeah.
So.
John, how did you shed your identity though, as far as going from on stage and being a speaker and all, then all of a sudden I've got to pull back the reins and reinvent myself?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that a lot of it was fear driving that. You know, no doubt motivates me and has motivated me. And I can look back on my life and see how that's driven, of like recognizing that I might miss out on something here. My son's 6 years old, right? And I have a buddy, Jim Shields, also a real estate guy, lives down in Florida. He wrote a book called The Family Board Meeting.
You know, shared an office with him for like 2 years.
No shit. Really? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah. So Jim was at our very first Front Row Dads retreat in 2016. And, you know, he shared the story and his concept of 18 summers, you know, and this idea of 18 summers. And all of a sudden I looked and I'm like, Tiger's six. I've got, you know, he's a third of his way through to adulthood. Now, I don't believe, by the way, that your role as a dad ends at 18. I believe that's when it's just getting good. And I think your best work can be done later in life. I mean, look, I'm 46. My dad's 77. I crave his attention. I want his leadership. I want a relationship with him. I want to repair trauma in our relationship from the past. I don't want to give up till the very, very end. And then I want that legacy to live on. And I want to break certain cycles with my dad and carry some traditions forward. But Jim put things into perspective for me when he talked about 18 summers. And I started thinking about, like, this is the time. If there's ever a moment, this is it. I mean, recently I had the opportunity to partner with somebody in Front Row Dads and really scale and grow. And I stopped that partnership because one of the things I recognized was at a core, the only thing I care about, or the most important thing, because I mean, financially we're taken care of at the moment. And I just said, all I want to do is make sure that I am fully present for the next decade of my life. Now I realize that listeners could be in very different phases of their life or seasons of their life. And I respect all the seasons that you're in. And this is one that I'm in where I just recognize that, look, my son's 12 right now. How much time do I have with him before, you know, he's out? Tim Urban wrote an article called The Tail End. Maybe you've heard about this one. And he actually articulates that in his calculations, 93% of the time he would ever spend with his parents happened before the age of 18. It literally in their entire lives, 93%. Of course, that based on geography and where you live and how much, you know, what culture you might have as your family could make that number be very, very different. But
and how bad the parents piss off the kids.
I resonate with that.
Or not, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, my parents live in Virginia and obviously the past couple of years have been a little bit of a fuck up for a lot of people, but we haven't seen my parents in 2 years, right? And I usually see them 2 weeks out of the year. So 93%, 95% of the time I would ever spend with my parents happened before the age of 18. Well, recognizing all that was what I needed to have an identity shift. And there are some things that came to me, like the family man with a business. Gino, that was literally the thing that when I said it, I knew that was true in my heart, but it wasn't true on my calendar. So that's when the journey began of, okay, how do I bow out of speaking? I've said no to every single speech. I mean, I was making $35,000 a speech. I bowed out of every speech. I stepped away from the foundation. I started Front Row Foundation. We've raised millions of dollars and helped lots of people, but I literally stepped down first as director. I stepped down as a board member, board chair. I stepped away. I mean, it's tattooed on my arm. I love this charity, but I recognize that used to be my identity. Was Mr. Front Row, was Front Row Foundation, was right. And that's, I was at, here's where it really started. At the party, I was at a party back in 2016 and somebody asked me what I did. And my tendency, my heart was wanted to tell them what I did professionally. And that's when I cut myself off and I said, I'm a dad and I'm a husband. And then I do some other stuff. And they said, that's the coolest answer. And I recognized that while that was a cool answer, it wasn't true for me. I wasn't actually living
that. Oh, that's,
you know, that was,
that hurts because you caught yourself in a lie.
It totally did. Yeah. And I said that to them. I said, by the way, that sounds good. That's how I want it to be, but that's actually not true for me right now. I'm working my ass off and I'm not seeing my kids a lot. And I was really honest in that moment, but that's where the identity shift started to happen, was when I realized it was broken. And when your wife tells you that you're more of a moment maker for other people than you are for their family, and you wrote the book on moment
making. That could go too many ways, man. You got to be careful with that one. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, those are hard things, but there's a lot of pain getting into an identity shift, you know?
Yeah. So for me, we homeschool the kids and the whole thing of the 18 summers, I think people have the misconception. My daughter's 22 years old. She just graduated college. She lived at home. Now she's at Tiger, Georgia. She's a life teen. She's a missionary for a year. The whole idea is to have that base relationship where it's not going to be 93%, because when she's done with that, she's going to come back home. She'll probably live near me and continue that legacy, that journey. So it's important early on to spend that time with your kids, to actually have that relationship with them. So when they turn 18, they don't check out. That 7%, that's the key, everybody. They're going to get older. They're going to make those decisions, but they're going to involve you in those decisions. And that's what you want. You want them to actually become adults and have their own choices. But to do that is to spend the first 18 years intentionally with them. They're going to drive you nuts. I was just in before I got on the call. One of the kids is schooling right now. She's crying because she can't read about Cortez and it's hard and this and that. And I'm like, dude, but you know what? You have to calm down and you have to be present for that. And if you're there, as they get older, once they get to be 18, they will go, they'll go away, but they'll still come back and they'll still be part of your life. So that's the important part. And it's cool that you recognize that they're in their formative years right now. And if we all realize that, give them a little more effort when they turn 18, as Jim says, they're not going to check out and just leave and be peaced out. So yeah. That's on us, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, how do you help people be fully alive?
I think first of all, it begins with, and I'll credit my buddy, Dane Espegard, who just put out a book called The Dream Machine for this one. Like it's recognizing what are the dreams that make you come alive. And you know, it's interesting as we were at this dad's retreat last week, we're in San Antonio, we've got 50 guys. Some of the names you would recognize, like these are high performers. They're people that have some celebrity in the world, perhaps, and they're kicking ass and they've done dreams before. But Dane's walking through this exercise with us. He's talking about dreams and he just keeps prompting, hey, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about doing that? Have you ever thought about this adventure when it comes to wealth and legacy? Did you ever consider this? And at the end, everybody's feedback to him was that the prompts were the most valuable part. We've all done dream exercises. We've all written lists. We've all traveled down this road. But when somebody starts prompting you, and I think that's the value of community. See, in Front Row Dads, we say that there's four ways that we communicate. Ask, give, win, props. The ask is like, what's your question? The win is like a victory that you have. The give is like a resource that you've stumbled upon. And the props are just giving recognition or acknowledgement to somebody. Those are four ways that we communicate with each other. But what I love about the wins is when somebody shares a win, it becomes another person's win. Here's an example. Guy posted in the group. He's like, I just got back from this epic camping trip with my family and my one-year-old, etc., blah, blah, right? So this other guy sees in the group, he's like, dude, I thought you couldn't start camping. Like in my mind, I was like, when my kids turn 5 or 6, we're going to go camping. When they're of age to go camping, it was, but I saw you do it. And all of a sudden, like your victory became my possibility. I saw you live this life, this dream. And all of a sudden, whoa, like this is all possible. And that happens in every category of life within our group. So what we believe is that community is the greatest survival tool. We believe in Front Row Dads that community is the greatest tool to thrive because you get a chance to live through other people's wisdom and experiences, which is why I've always positioned myself in this group. Is like, I didn't start this group to give help. I started it because I needed it, right? I'm not the guru in this group. I literally had this retreat, 50 guys, 3 days. I spoke for a grand total of 30 minutes in the entirety of the event because the wisdom's in the room. The wisdom's in their stories. The wisdom is in their wins and their failures and their journeys. And so my goal is to get men to talk to each other about these things and not from a place of giving advice, but from a place of true experience. So what makes people come alive?
That sounds like a big challenge, man.
Dude, it has been-
Not being a smartass, just knowing guys, my whole, you know, it's like, that's not easy.
I'll tell you one thing, man, it's not right for everybody. Yeah. We do a good job, like, when I talk about this group, people know whether it's for them or not. Like people will reach out to us and be like, dude,
you have to be humble enough. And that's open exactly enough
You've got to be confident enough to hang with these guys because they're no joke. Like these guys are successful. They're ass kickers. You've got to have some confidence to be in this room. And at the same time, you have to have the humility to show up and say, but that's the balance. I think always for me, that's the most inspirational man is the guy who's like, I know when I can make a decision, I can lead my family. I can tell people like who I am and what I stand for. And at the same time, be open to changing my ways. I think that's the biggest part.
Last question before we go to the short answer, and this may be a long one. That's why I just popped in my mind. How do you create a community like that? We've created Jake and Gino and it's taken me 4 or 5 years. And now all of a sudden after 4 years, we've got some really great momentum. It is based on family. It is based on values. Yeah. I mean, someone's out there saying, I need community.
Yeah.
How do I start? What's the framework look like?
Well, what I did is I brought, here's how I create a party, ready? You pick five people that you love, five people that you resonate with, five people that you align with, five people that have your back. And you, with those five people, you pick a date and you start something. And then you let those five people be the energy and the nucleus to draw in others. Now in our community, we've established our, we have something called our ethos of engagement. And we tell people, here's how we treat each other. So there is a definition of how we treat each other. And then once you have that nucleus formed, you either attract or repel people very easily. Once our values, when our values are on our website, they're right there. It's like, if you resonate with this, we're probably, we might be a good fit, but if you don't, then we're not. So part of it is you start with your core, who you need to bring in. The other piece is like, hold space, but get out of the way. I hold space and get out of the way. Like all I do is I work to create an environment. You held up the book earlier. Like I wrote a lot about environment in that book in the Front Row Factor. And I believe that that's part of my role. I pick a location. I shape the room. There's a lot of dynamics at play too. I mean, we could talk for hours about how to create community. It's a great conversation. But like one of them is in our room, when you enter, all the chairs are in a circle. And the reason being is, you know, this creates unity, man. Like there's not one speaker and everybody sits facing one guy and like, here's the guru and you should pay attention. It's like, you're all men with wisdom. We're all going to have an equal voice here. And then it's for community. I think it's having one-to-ones. We have small groups called bands, which I mentioned. My band is Hal Elrod, Justin Donald, Tim Nicolai. We meet every month. We just met this morning for breakfast for two and a half hours. We have bands. We have retreats at 50 guys. We have larger events at 150 guys, 200 guys, and we have our podcast. And so I think that having those varying levels of engagement and vulnerability is also really important. And then the last piece I'll say to this, and I'll take what could have been a very long answer and maybe make it a moderately long answer is, dude, here's how I started this last retreat. I had 50 guys around me. They all flew in, they drove in, they've all invested big dollars to be there. And I said, guys, I was in my room last night and I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking about the fact that 50 of you guys showed up for this event. And you know what went through my head? I said, I don't want to be here. I literally got into a fight with my wife just before we left the house. I'm laying in bed. I'm pissed. I'm angry. I don't want to lead an event. I don't want to be here. I'm angry at my wife. I'm just not comfortable. And that's how I showed up to this event. And one of the guys a little bit later is like, and that's why we love this event, because the host of the event, his opening line is, I don't want to be here. And that is the level of vulnerability and the honesty. And
did you get like a domino effect and like five more people go, I don't want to be here either.
And by the way, that would be great.
Let's go to the bar.
That would be great, man. That would be, see, that's welcome. Transparent, yeah. You know, David, who I mentioned earlier, Osborne, one of my closest friends, he's like, transparency leads to transformation. That's the reality. Transparency leads to transformation.
And it also pulls in the right people that should be
there.
That's
it. Right? 100%, man.
When you're up front and then, yeah, I love
that. Dude, I can hold two feelings at once. I could be excited and, you know, and scared. I can hold two feelings at the same time. And in this room, it's like, you can both be excited to be here and not want to be here. And that's all okay, because you're okay being in this room. Google will tell you that in order to create community, it's psychological safety. The number one thing that has to happen is people need to feel safe. Hey, are people going to accept me for being here? Can I be myself? And I would tell this group, like, look, I don't care if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. I don't care if you think 9/11 was an inside job or not. I don't care. Point is, I want this to be a yes and community. I want this to be like, yes, I hear you. And here are my thoughts. So this is not about shutting people down. This is not a cancel culture community. This is not a, how do we snuff this guy out? This is just, we are strong in our ways. We'll receive your information. We will add our own information. And if you can hang with that, then you might fit with our community.
Jake, before we go to the break, I think everyone should read the book, Same Side Selling, because that's what John's talking about. You're finding impact together. It's FIT. What you're doing is, are we going to work together? Can we work together? If we can't, great. Let's pass on it, because I can't add value to you. It's like you're putting a puzzle together. Well, let's get on the same side of the table to put that puzzle together instead of being confrontational on the different side. You're not selling anybody. You're finding impact together. And if you can't find impact together with John, move on. There's another community for you. That's exactly, I think, right, how we should actually create community and create businesses and create sales teams. So.
Yeah. And I think everybody needs a community. Yes. Just find the one that makes you come alive. So that old Howard Thurman, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do that, because that's what the world needs. By the way, my buddy Jonathan Fields just put out a book called Sparked, which is literally like, you talk about somebody in their 20s, finding their path, figuring out who they are. That book, first of its kind, is to identify like what makes you have the impetus to go do something. What sparks you? What makes you come alive is the basis of that book, by the way. So good resource for people.
All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education
and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, we're back. So you mentioned before, the community may not be for everybody. I think this is a challenging question. Why is family so important to you? Literally, like, why family? You created a business around it. And I don't think that's a very easy thing to answer, but I'd love to hear your
opinion. No, it's not, man. And if you gave me enough time, I'd probably contradict myself and all sorts of stuff, you know, because it is, those are the types of questions I like, man. I really appreciate that. Part of it is, like, I both grew up in a family I loved and wanted to model and mirror that for my kids, which now as a grown man, I'm like, oh, like, I'll give you an example. My dad, when I was younger, would be in the garage organizing the garage. And I would, like, want his attention, want to go play ball or something like that. Right. And he would be in the garage. And the story I tell myself is, my dad would rather clean the garage than hang out with me. And there have been so many Saturdays since then as an adult where I've been in my garage and I'm like, I can't even focus on going and playing ball with my kid until this is, like, picked up. This clutter is fucking dealt with. And there's a lot of, like, me recognizing both what worked in my family and trying to heal trauma. So there's things I want to bring forward and there's things I don't. Like, I want my kids to feel like I'm present and engaged. I don't want to be my dad when he's 77 with this massive amount of regret. So family is important to me because I believe that it's the source of a lot of joy and the source of a lot of trauma in people's lives. I mean, it is our greatest influence as we're beginning. On a bigger level, Jake, I mean, here's what I think, man. And this might sound a little grandiose, but I'm going to just say it because it's what I believe. When I look around right now and I look at the world, I'm both inspired and terrified. I think a lot of people would feel the same way, right? There's things I look at and I go, ah, shit. Like, we are in the sixth great extinction right now. Like, this is not going to end well. Dude, you don't have to be a scientist or a mathematician to look around and see at what rate we're developing, at what rate we're growing, and at what rate we're utilizing resources, and to be a little scared about that, right? There is a piece that's very real for me there. There's also, like, I've never believed more in humanity and the possibility of humanity and the collaborative efforts and the evolution of man.
Can we adapt quick enough?
Can we adapt quick enough, man? That's it, dude. That is exactly it. And in all of that uncertainty, Jake, in all of that uncertainty and the stuff that both keeps me up at night and the stuff that helps me sleep at night, I've realized that if I drill it back far enough, look, do I want to lobby for this politician to get voted for? Could that make a difference? Sure. Do I want to do this thing in my community and try to impact all these people around me? Sure. But dude, if you go back to the core, I need to influence my kids. I know that if I want...
Dude, we're fucking animals and this is our tribe and it's instinctual.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, man.
Fuck up all the other shit. Like, that's like,
it. That's right.
It's coming through my damn blood, you know, and I can't even help it. Yeah.
You nailed it. I mean, and if we can get conscious to that fact, because we can numb ourselves.
And I'm completely okay with that. I'm okay being what does Goggins call a knuckle dragger, right? I'm fine with it. There's a part of me that's doing that.
That's,
and I
want to
comment
on
the other thing too. I think that there's a beautiful balance when you know the garage needs to be cleaned and your kids are seeing you do that. And you say, all right, Timmy, time out here. This dad's responsible. Dad takes care of shit. This is going to get done. And we're going to read that book in 30 minutes right now. And if you nail both of those, I think that's where you find a good, you know, harmonious balance in life. Cause not only are you showing the way, and then you're coming back with the attention and the presence as well, because you may not be able to be present till you get the damn boxes cleaned up. Cause they're driving you blinking nuts, man.
Yep.
So,
and telling your kids that,
yeah,
this is driving me insane. I want to say yes to you, but there's a part of my being
dad's also responsible.
That's
we're going to
exactly
do both.
Right.
Yeah.
100%.
So Jake, you nailed it. I think part of the problem also is if you look at where society is going, the dissolution of the family, the divorces, the ability for families not to stay together, and for not having dads as role models. I mean, look at the pussification of fathers on TV. I mean,
yeah, women, that's bro. Exactly right, I'm dude.
I have five daughters. My daughters, I am mirroring my daughter, or my hopefully my goal is to have my daughters marry someone like me, who's going to love them, who's going to trust them, who's going to take a bullet for them, who's going to sweat for them, who's going to cherish them and honor them. That's what I'm trying to mirror.
Gino's got me ready to run through a wall right now. Let's go. Testosterone maxed.
No. I'm just trying to be that role model. And I think
if
more daughters had that. So all the men out there, it's time to step up. I wish I have six kids. Amen. I wish I had more. I want to have. And that's the idea, is to have that and to be able to be a beacon. Now you have to figure out, like John was doing, you can't go every weekend. You have to be there and you have to be the role model and actually talk to them and actually let them grow up and let them make their own decisions at some point. But it's very, very important that they see everything you do and they will mirror everything you do. So you need to be honest. And my biggest bit of advice to all the dads out there, it's okay to mess up and it's okay to ask for forgiveness, because that's going to show your vulnerability. And when they get older, they can have empathy.
And tell them you screwed up. That goes a long way. When you're honest with your kids and you're able to do that, I found that very impactful.
It's a hard thing to do, but let me tell you something. That's the most powerful thing. Just say, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you. I was just in a different moment, and the dynamic completely changes and they start to respect you. They don't have to fear you. They just have to love and respect you. And by you getting that respect, that's how you do it. That's one of the ways you do it.
Gino, I've got to comment on this too, man, because you're going to get me all fired up about this. I've shared for years, there was a tweet put out by some author that I really respect and love, but the tweet drove me insane. The tweet was something like, I was getting a haircut and the woman said, do you want a dad haircut? And then his comment was, can we agree that if you add the word dad to anything, it makes it uncool? Dad bod, dad jeans, dad haircut, whatever. And I go, that's exactly what the fuck I want to stand up and rebel against. Mm-hmm. I want if a guy wears a shirt and it says, I'm a fucking dad or whatever it is, they look at that guy and they go, that dad is badass. He might be whatever earns the respect. He's either confident.
I didn't even fucking think about this, but you're spot on. Like,
he's fucking fit. He's with his kids. Yeah. Like, he's, you know what I mean? And to me, that is redefining this whole like bumbling idiot dad bullshit. Is like,
what they're doing to language
that's
too.
Right.
And
that's
this
exactly
shit matters.
Right.
And like, until you call their bullshit, you don't even realize it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, you know, and I have a lot of buddies.
I got 9% body fat. Fuck a dad bod. All right. Let's go.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, man. It's like, what does stepping up look like for you in that space? Like, dude, I think you should be masterful in the bedroom. I don't think you should brag about the fact that you can't perform like you used to and all this. No, it's like, dude, you've got to step into these roles and own them at the best that you can. Not everybody is supposed to look the same, but the question is, I don't care what your body looks. I want to know what your routine looks like. I want to know if you're taking care of yourself. I want to know if you're putting in the effort to make this work, and you should be present with your kids, and you should change a damn diaper, and you should do all these things that are literally about you bringing your best to the table. It doesn't mean that all the roles are the same. It doesn't mean you should put the same amount of time and energy. Like, clearly my wife does very different things than I do in our relationship. And that's not about masculine and feminine per se, although it can be, but people get too mixed up in the masculine and feminine. This is about finding your edge and your best, and about finding what truly, like you said, you know, at the beginning, it's like what makes each individual come alive. And to me, this is about finding your best in every category as a dad and being somebody that other people look at and go, fuck, that guy's got it dialed in. That's impressive. I want to be more like that. I want to follow that. I want to be a partner with that. That's what we want in our group.
Hey, real quick though. Did it come with a 20% discount? Because I might take the dad haircut up there. If, they cut me a deal.
That's right.
If that's what you mean by that, like if dad's cheap, maybe if dad's cheap, that's okay.
We'll
right?
Dad we'll can take be the deal.
Yeah.
We'll take the deal.
Do you incorporate your kids into the business? And if so, why?
For sure, man. All the time. Dude, Tiger's putting together. When a guy joins, we mail out hats and, you know, all this stuff. And Tiger's putting boxes together. And we pay him. Right. By the way, not only is that great for him, but it's great for talk to your CPA, right? Like, we pay Tiger, and dude, he's in pictures. He's on our website. I tell him all the time, I go, you're going to help serve the Front Row Dads. So he has put together gifts for guys when they're coming to retreats and all sorts of things, but getting him involved is part of the game, you know, for sure, in the business, and taking him along. Like, dude, when I was doing speaking, I took him to a speech in South Dakota, and He got on stage in front of 2,000 people, and we went and saw Mount Rushmore, and we spent 6 days together. We turned a one-day speech into a six-day adventure, and it was awesome. And you got to see the whole thing. And I love all the pieces of it. Like, we got to the airport. I'll give you a great practical example. We get to the airport, and I hand them the tickets, and I go, figure out how we get to the plane, right? Figure out how we get to the plane, man. Like, I'm here, but like, you figure it out. Who do you need to talk to? What are they going to look like? How are you going to approach them? What needs to happen? And, you know, turning all these into teachable moments, it's the best.
I love it. Gino, if it don't cash flow, let the grass grow. My daughter was up on stage last weekend. We had a big event, and her one thing was she wanted to get up there and give a little multifamily advice. So it worked out quite well. She awesome. Nailed it. One line. We practiced that shit like fucking every day, like three times too. And she nailed it. And then she ran. So, all so right. Great. So what project are you excited about right now?
You know, figuring out how, this is going to sound funny, but figuring out how to stay a family man with a business. Front Row Dads is growing so fast, and we have opportunities for investment dollars and, you know, partnerships and hiring a COO and all these things that will help us. But I don't want to lose myself to that, because I can very easily do that. So the thing I'm fired up about is keeping what I have as a core. It's working right now. My family is thriving, and I love that and want to keep my eye on the prize.
Create the well-oiled machine and then let the rest of it take care of itself. I love it. And frontrowdads.com, what's the website? Where can people get a hold of it?
Yeah. Frontrowdads.com. And if you're listening to this podcast somewhere, then podcast is Front Row Dads. We've got a lot of great guests on there, and we're talking about things that are important to family men with businesses. So we're talking about the business, but not just to make an extra million because you can. It's like, how can we do this and create something that directly impacts our family? Is this with great intention, not just pure greed? You know, that's the mission of the group.
And there is, I'm sure, more people than we all realize that have a need for this and are actually craving this type of community, because it's not what you get, you know, every day when you turn on the TV or on YouTube or whatever like that. So,
yeah. And not every group should be focused on this. Like, there should be masterminds that are built to serve your business. That's what it should be doing. That's its intention. But yet we need a place where we can talk about fatherhood. You know, listen, if your conversations with all your buddies are like 2 hours of how are you growing your business? What's going on? Da, 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 da. And then at the end, you're like, oh, by the way, how's the wife and kids? Yeah. You've got a fucking problem and you should probably address that. Or if you hang up the phone and your wife goes, how are their wife and kids, and you go, I don't know, I don't ask that, that's also a problem. So you got to create that community somewhere, even if you form it on your own and you do it with great intention.
G-Dad, you're up.
Just got my next task, Jake.
Look at me. He's like, I got work to do now.
He just killed me with that last thing. I'm like, you just sparked the idea. And every time I get an idea sparked, it's not a good thing. I got to
follow. Dude, I understand.
Bro.
Ideation is number one on my strengths profile.
John Roman, born in Japan. Ultra marathoner. We didn't get into that. Business builder.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Speaker, ripping 35K speech. Gets off stage one day and he starts spewing that family is important. That's the first thing. And then he says, wow, the identity is not really there. I'm lying to myself. It just feels a little icky, as Jake would say. And then he says, I have to reevaluate stuff. How do I start doing that? And just gets together, starts thinking about the front row factor, starts getting together community. Five people. That's all it took. It grew from five people, five of his closest friends. I don't know if Jake and I have five really close friends, so that may be challenging for both of us, but get five people out there.
So, you know, that's why you have all these kids, right?
And from that five, it grows. And having that mission and not losing yourself and knowing what your core values are for your business, for your life, for everything, that's going to be your North Star. Figure out what that catalyzing statement is and continue to live your true self and help others create those magical moments in their lives.
John, really, really enjoyed this. You're a very authentic human, and I appreciate that. So thank you so much,
John,
for your time.
Appreciate
it. Guys, thanks for having me.